Yo, what's up? Welcome back to not the third, not the fourth, not the fifth, not the 19th, but the First Shot Podcast. It's your boy Chase the Dream Pammy, Ian Silverback Butler, and we are officially in the month of May.
Yeah.
May flowers. Wait, I don't even remember the saying. It's been that long. Was it April showers bring May flowers?
I never
Well,
knew that there was a saint.
May is here. We just finished up the US Open last week here in Las Vegas. Lots to recap from there. Sports wise, we're in the NHL playoffs. Round two, got basketball going on as well. So
Lakers, baby, we're up 2-1 against the Golden State Warriors.
if you have not, and you want to, and you should, then you should go to, where should they go to?
You go to BetOnline. You go to BetOnline for all your betting needs. All you got to do is to go betonline.com. You put the promo code BELIEVE50, get 50% off your welcome offer bonus, which means it pretty much doubles it. And then you place all your bets for all your NHL and NBA meets. That's all you got to do.
That's what's up. So, well, quick recap from April. Lots of traveling. I know we were in Virginia. We were in Reno. We had girls go out to
Girls Nationals.
Washington Girls Nationals, and we had the US Open. Great weekend here in Vegas. Lots of teams. One of the toughest US Opens I've seen.
Yeah.
Really exciting to see. I know a lot of my kids wrestled. A lot of good things to build on. Some tough losses, some unexpected tournament victories and wins. So that was really exciting. I myself was supposed to wrestle, but I missed weight by 0.2 kilos. And all in all, when I put my shoes down 5 years ago in 2019, I said I'd never wrestle again. And well, I guess it kind of worked out that way that I haven't. So that's the silver lining. But so we had that, and now we're getting ready for Western Regionals, getting all of our kids ready for Fargo. About 2.5 months out, we're about to start our training camp at the end of May, and a good 2 hard months of pushing and getting ready to go for that. So that's what's up with Gold Rush Wrestling. What's up with Silverback? I just saw you have Vincenzo Joseph out there.
Yeah, dude, we had a speaking of US Open, we had a finalist from the US Open. Silverback, we just got done with our freestyle state. We qualified kids for Fargo. We are supposed to be doing Western Regionals, but my baby is due that weekend. So we'll see what happens. Maybe it is due. Maybe it comes early. Hopefully. But maybe a couple kids will go out, but we're really getting ready for Greco State around here over in California. That's pretty much the next weekend that lines up. And we're getting ready for Rocky Mountain Nationals. We were not at Virginia Beach because I fought in Mexico. But Vincent Joseph came out to do a clinic. It was freaking amazing. What a great guy, man. Two-timer, two-time national champ. Good guy. Great dude. So well with the kids. Had so much fun. Showed a lot of underhook stuff. I love underhooks too. A lot of cool stuff. Kids loved them, dude. We had a fire clinic, bro. It was pretty dope.
Awesome. Yeah, I did
Yeah.
look at the clinic from social media and what I saw on there. So,
Yeah.
well, let's jump in. You said you got a topic.
Yeah, I got a topic.
Let's
I have a
hear it.
really good topic. Really good topic. I'm getting close to the camera here. All right. So it's funny how you teach, I teach. We have a wealth of knowledge, big bank, right? So we do all these clinics, we bring people in. At the end of the day, the subject for this topic is just figuring it out, right? Just figuring it out, right? Sometimes I had a big conversation on Sunday with one of my two of my kids, and just like, yo, how did you figure it out here? Like, I was like, I don't know. You just gotta, yeah, specifically, you just gotta figure it the fuck out. Like,
Yeah.
oh, that's just it. Like, yo, you like collar ties? She's like, no, I'm not good at shooting. I'm like, that's okay. Like, but I'm really good at collar tie and snapping. So why don't you build your offense off your collar tie. Like, it's pretty simple to me. Well, you want you, if you're snapping and get to a front headlock, you got a few ways to score from their head in a hole. You can shuck them. Like, you can do so many things. And then they're talking about, like, how to build up my offense. I'm like, yo, I was a really good tie guy. And then I got to two-on-ones. People start developing two-on-ones, and then I automatically start finding myself in an underhook, right? And I start developing my underhook offense from there, right? From space, I pretty much have a double. But at the end of the day, like, I had, you're going through these clinics and they show you so many moves, but only two or three will probably stick, right? Two or three will probably stick. And at the end of the day, right? Like, how did I develop my style, or how did you develop your style, right? Because everybody's different. Everybody has different body types. Everybody has different athletic ability, right? Like, I can literally, dude, Chase, you can do fucking backflips, bro. Dude, you know how many gymnastic classes I try to take to try to do backflips and stuff like that, right? My cartwheels in my arsenal, all right? So at the end of the day, you just got to figure out what you can or cannot do and see what you like and see what's sticking. And at the end of the day, you just got to figure it out. That's just it.
That's such an interesting phrase, right? I think we talked about this a while back. One of the things that's great about club is also one of the things that's also can be not so good about club sometimes, right? Is we're spoon feeding these kids what they need to know, right? I know my kids are pretty blessed. They get a lot of clinicians that come through here, high level clinicians, mid level clinicians. They get technique. They know more technique than they can even probably than they even know, right?
Right.
Which is great. But then sometimes kids don't learn to think for themselves. And I think that's one of the important things that I've really been intentional about with my kids now, right? Is learning to think for yourself, learning to ask the right questions, not just to me, but to other people, right? Be resourceful, use those that are around you, right? To put together the mental game, to put together the physical game, to put together the strength game. You can't always rely on your coaches to give you, right, every single thing. You know, coach, this is not working. I can't figure it out, this and that. Well, okay, we're here to help. But also, we want you to problem solve through that, right? Mm-hmm. You learn, I'm sure you taught kids a move, right? And they go and try that move in practice or in a match. And they're like, hey, coach, this didn't work out. What's up? Well, look, you practiced it how many days? You know? So really, like, developing your style, you know, as you're kind of talking about developing what you do, it takes years, takes time, takes studying, takes watching other wrestlers. I know in high school, I would watch wrestlers that I liked and try to imitate some of the stuff that they did, try it out on the mat. I know in college, I really enjoyed watching John Smith. And so I would always try, John Smith, elbow, duck, high crotch, and low single. But I'm also a shorter guy, so it didn't really work that well for me. But it ended up becoming elbow control, ankle pick, and elbow control, knee pull, right? So you kind of develop your style, you know, from watching other people, training with other people, right? You train with somebody. Are you know, taking stuff from them? You go to clinics or you have people come in for clinics, right? You everybody knows underhooks, right? Hopefully most kids know underhooks, but I'm sure, you know, Chenzo showed ways to get to an underhook that probably none of those kids have seen before. Or, like, I know I saw one little clip that you had on there that I'm like, you know what? I never even thought about, you know, how turning my wrist that way, bringing my elbow inside to get to an underhook, right? So, but teaching kids, it's kind of teaching kids. Not, you know, it for a while it's giving kids the fish, right, to eat. And then now it's like it's teaching them in high school how to fish, right? How to go get the information that they need, how to develop their style, how to do all these different things that help them be self-sufficient, self-sustainable as a wrestler, but also as a human being, right? So figure it out. Wasn't there a show called Figure It Out, Nickelodeon?
Was it? Nah, bro. I know a show that was called All That.
All That, but hold on. There's the one. It wasn't Figure It Out, but it was the one where they're on like a game show, and like the kids had a uh, they had like really random things that they were good at. Like one of them was like, I remember vividly, there was one kid that could, without with a blindfold on, he could figure out what type of vacuum that they turned on just by the noise.
What? And
yeah. You know, there was a bunch of things that they had, but it was, I think it was called Figure It Out. Hold on. Because we're gonna figure this out right here while we're talking. Even though this doesn't have much to do with our topic, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but we're going off on a little
phrase like Figure It Out.
Hold on.
Figure It Out. Did they have a catchphrase it's like that?
Figure It Out on Nickelodeon. Oh, and I remember the girl that led it was hot. Olympic swimmer. I can't find her name on here, but I remember watching it because I was like, oh, she's hot. I want to watch it. But Figure It Out, right? The panel had to ask questions. They had to use different clues to figure out what the kid was good at, right? And it'd have up on the screen behind them like 8 blanks. And they would have to figure out the words of one of those blanks. And if they figured out what it was, then the kid didn't get the prize. But if they didn't figure it out, then the kid got the prize, right? So figure it out though, but ask questions, right? Teach kids to learn how to fish. I think that's such an important component, such an important value. So I know that's what I did to develop my style. Is I watched a lot of film and I tried to mimic and figure out like what worked and what didn't. Because again, like you said, body type is important. What I do is different than what my kids are going to be able to do. Maybe some things they'll use, but what about you? How'd you figure it out? What are things you did to develop?
Same thing, dude. Like I love wrestling, combat sports, just in general. So I watch a lot of film, right? It's another way you can figure it out without anybody's help, right? Right. Like watching film, but did you write stuff down off the film? Did you practice what you watch off the film? That's huge, right? And then also too, when you're wrestling in NCAAs or even just wrestling post that, like as a professional, how often did you watch wrestling on TV? Was it like all the time, mostly?
Not really, because we were kind of the pre-flow era. But YouTube, dude, I in college I had YouTube. In high school, I don't think I had high school. I didn't have YouTube, but college, sometimes I'd be in the study hall lounge. You're not supposed to be on YouTube in the study hall lounge, but I would get on YouTube and Google John Smith or Google Elbrus Tadeyev, who had a freaking nasty ankle pick, right? Or Mike Zadek, who had a good ankle pick. And I'd watch guys a little bit for like fun, but also like, you know, I tried to do the John Smith duck where that dude could sit his butt between his, be on his knees and have his butt between his legs and his feet turned out. Like, I'm like, I'm just not flexible like that. There's no way I'm doing that. Right. Like I'd have to be working on this forever, you know? But yeah, I didn't have flow. And that might be one of those things nowadays where like there's almost too much information out there. I get some kids and they're doing better, but I had some kids for a while that like every week they were trying to move and then moving on. It's like, oh, Yanni used that move. I'm gonna use that move. Oh, you know, Zane Rutherford, he used that move. I'm gonna try this. All right, let's kind of narrow this down a little bit to like a couple moves instead of like 47 moves, right? So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, right? So you can, yeah, man. But that's exactly what I did. Like I spent nothing but just like two-on-ones for like a month, bro. Just like trying to get to that tie. And then I developed a couple offensive sequences off of that, right? Stepping over, getting single, right? Like all kinds of stuff, bro. And then when people started... like, oh, underhooks for months, bro. And just really just trying to work off of that and just really trying to work off of that. And then try to work off of that in practice as well. I handicap myself. Like, I'm only going to do this. Yeah. Only going to. And that's what helped out. You know, like I love ties. I love ties. I love getting the ties. I just figured that out at an early age, man. Just tie. Move around, tie. So. And I just started developing off of that, but I just figured it out, right? Obviously, you have coaches to help guide you and stuff like that. But, man, if you can fish on your own and you can get your own food, you'll never go hungry, bro. So that's the key thing, man, about figuring.
those are life value and lessons. I know for us, dude, we've been working on this knee shield from a Whizzer up on our feet kind of position for almost a month now, you know, and it's crazy to me that there's still kids that come in and aren't doing it right. You know, it's we've been doing this for a month. How do we still have, are we still making those same things? But it's also remembering that how long does it take to learn something new consistently every single day, right? You have kids that are coming in the room 5 days a week, but you have some kids that only make it in 2-3 days a week, right? And so the importance of the consistency of working on something, and look, like, you don't, they're not going to figure it all out because there's so many different things that hopefully they learn to become creative with it, where they learn like, oh, this is, oh, I can get here. And then, oh, like, oh, it's cool when it clicks, when it's like, oh shoot. Like, I don't just have to get to it from the way coach showed it. Like, yeah, coach showed it from when they're in on a single leg, but what if they're in, like, they're in on high crotch, I threw his head to the inside and now I'm in knee shield position. Right. So I think it's really cool to see that development of like one move. You know, we've taken one move and really just, we've been really, really consistent for the last month with it. And we're seeing kids starting to use it in practice. But realistically, at the high school level, they say it takes like anywhere from like 3 to 5 months, something consistently being done for them to really like be able to use it. Right. So it takes time of being just consistent with the same things over and over and over, which is like the boring part of it. Right.
Yep.
I remember Peyton Manning interview I listened to years ago. I think I was a senior in college, and he discussed the love that he developed for the monotonous, boring things as a quarterback, the quote unquote boring things that he had to do every day, the details, the same things that he would do every day, day in, day out, the same set of things each and every week as kind of part of his basis. But he learned to love that. And he learned to love the boring things, so to speak. Right. That's where that breakthrough comes from. Right. It's not like, oh, you learn like it's not the next shiny toy. It's sticking to a few things. Another guy, Olympic champion, Yonemitsu from Japan. He won the 2012 Olympics, and he trained at Penn State. After that, he moved to US, trained at Penn State. I don't think he wrestled anymore, but you know, they took care of him. And what all those guys tell me is like, that dude, all he would work on, he said when he was training, was that one move over and over. And that was it. That was his offense, was yeah. That move. And if you go and watch him like in competitions, I think his first name is Tatsuhiro Yonemitsu. I think that's it. But you go and watch him, dude. I mean, his finish rate on his outside step high crotch, ridiculous. And that's how he won the Olympics. But it was like consistency with this one single move. He decided, I'm going to be great at this one move and no one's going to be able to stop it.
What's the saying? Like, I don't fear a man with 10,000 moves. And that rep the move over 10,000 times. Ain't that pretty much like the saying to that? Like, if that person studied and rep that move 10,000 times, like, you know how dangerous you can be with that?
And there's a, I don't know how much you read and study different things, but there's like a thought process out there right now that like leans heavily towards like, get better at the things you're good at and don't worry so much about the things that you're not, right? Because the ability to be able to grow in the things that you're good at versus the time it takes like to learn the things that you're not that you don't ever like dabble with that, but the things that you're good at, right? You continue to get better at those. You continue to improve on those things. Right. And kind of the idea being like, that's where you're going to be able to make the most jumps. That's where you focus your time. That's what makes you, you know, in business, that's what makes you the money, right? The things that you're good at, things you're not good at. Hey, maybe you have other people to do it. So, you know, in wrestling, like, hey, where am I going to win matches? Where am I going to be able to take everybody down with? Is it my elbow pull single leg? Dude, that's where I'm going to, like, quote unquote in wrestling, like make my money. You know what I mean? Right. I got this knee pull single that I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to make my money. This is where I'm going to get my, this is where I'm going to spend my time figuring out all, because I know I can get to the shot on anybody, but can I finish on anybody? 10% a lot of times is getting the shot. 90% is being able to finish backside, waterfall, come up with the leg, you know, work through all the different positions that they might give you when they're squaring hips, when they're giving you whizzer, knowing all the details and being proficient in and out, in your move set, right? In the things that you do. So figuring it out, right? Learn to fish. Learn to fish.
Learn to fish. Figure it out. Learn to fish. Figure it out. Yeah, that's pretty much, that's it. That is it. Man, this is a quick episode, for sure. But what do you guys have coming up soon? You guys have...
We are going to Western Regionals this weekend for Utah on Thursday. We're there Thursday to Saturday. We are bringing up a squad. I think we're bringing up about 50 kids. We've got high school boys. We got high school girls. We got youth kids. We got a little bit of everything, you know? But we have this commitment to freestyle. Hey, I know people can't see on the thing, but you got some crumbs in the stash. I don't know if that's that look or you're just trying to, you know.
I was snacking.
So, but the thing that we're really like, we're pushing now is like, when we get done with folk style, we're done. Like, there's Supreme Gladiator here this weekend. Like, and it, as a business, like we hope, you know, most of our people are committed, but we're not sending any coaches because we're not committed to the folk style game right now. We're committed to freestyle and Greco. We're committed to, you know, we want to put kids on world teams. We want kids competing at that level by the time, they get to high school. So we've really made this commitment that we're bringing our kids to freestyle Greco tournaments, and we're going to get better and make those adjustments. And so we got some kids going to Supreme. I think it's good. Like, sometimes matches are matches, right? But we have a big commitment to send our kids to, Utah. So we have that. We have Western States and Turf Wars coming up in June. I know June's a busy month for me. May is a busy month. I'm going to North Dakota. I've got a camp at the end of the month, so I'll go up there and do that. I get back. I got Dynamite Dan, 50K E-Gay, fighting UFC card up in Canada. So we'll go up to Canada. We'll do that. We'll come back. We got Western States. Turf Wars going on. We'll come back. We'll take our kids up to Valiant Prep, Arizona, go get some training out there. I go to California again, up to Redding, do a clinic up there in July. And then we prep and we're off to Fargo. Get back from Fargo. Cody Garbrandt. Garbrandt's got his fight in August. Going to go to Boston. And then I'm going to Germany. I'm out. I'm taking 10 days. And going to go decompress before the year starts all over again. So
nice, dude. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. What we got is, we are not doing Gladiators. We are getting ready for Greco State. And then we're doing Rocky Mountain Nationals. And then after that, we got July and we got D-Day. D-Day is really big. And then I'm fighting on July 22nd in San Diego. And then we have our own Silverback Open tournament at the end of July. That would be big. And then I go to Alaska and then I go to Oregon. So,
Oregon.
So, yeah. Very big, very busy, very busy. But busy is good. Busy is good. Oh, June, I go to Dallas.
Texas.
Yeah. I think there's only one Dallas. Is there only one Dallas?
No, maybe there's 10. I'm just testing you.
No. Texas. It's not like Paris, when it's like Paris, California, or Paris. You guys got a Paris, Nevada?
Paris, Nevada. All right, my guy. Hey, thank you for joining us on the First Shot podcast. We will be back next week. Have a great week.
Yep. See you soon. See ya.